for
you. Yeah, you can just say Timmy C, man.
Timmy C. All right. Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with the one and only Tim Comerford, a.k.a. Timmy C, of both Rage Against the Machine and the new rap rock supergroup Prophets of Rage. Thanks so much for joining us, Timmy C.
Right on, Jason.
All right, man. Just in case our listeners aren't aware, let's just run through the formation of the supergroup. So you got you, Tom Morello, and Brad Wilk of Rage. You got Chuck D and DJ Lord of Public Enemy, and you got B Real of Cypress Hill. How did you guys come together and decide to form here?
This came from Tom, and I was excited when I got the call from Tom asking me if I wanted to be part of this, and of course I did, and it was sort of like, hey, do you want to play with Chuck D and Be Real and Brad and DJ Lord and go after the RNC and play at a prison and do some of the things that we need to be doing in today's political environment? And I was like, yeah, this is amazing. So Tom gets excited about things, and I love it when he gets excited because he makes shit happen.
Definitely. You mentioned the political angle. I think I saw in Rolling Stone, Tom Morello had said that you guys were a group of revolutionary musicians put together to confront the mountain of election year BS. Go into that. Why is this campaign so different? I mean, the answer is obvious, but why did that sort of light a fire under you guys?
Well, I mean, that we have a pretty insane presidential election happening, but we have an insane world that we live in, and we have incredible music that we are sitting on and that needs to be out there and needs to be the soundtrack for defiance and rage is what it takes to change the world, and it goes back in history, all the important changes that we've made in our world all stem from people that are pissed off, and this music is pissed off, and these dudes are pissed off, and this world needs change. So it's a perfect, like I said, a perfect soundtrack for that.
What are some of the things you guys are pissed off about?
Well, I mean, it's clear. It's like, for me, it comes down to the borders, and that's what I keep saying. It's like it's borders. It's we live in the United States, and the states aren't even united. There's each state has their own laws, and those, what it comes down to at the end of the day, you have a presidential candidate talking about building walls and banning Muslims, and we have countries leaving the European Union basically over, well, we don't want to be associated with them and their economy, and it, at the end of the day, it's racism, And so, we live in a world where we're building walls to separate people and culture, and really, we need to be tearing those walls down and uniting as citizens of the planet Earth. And music is the universal language, and so that's what we're doing. We're trying to tear these walls down.
Do you think, let's say decades from now, people might look back on some of the of your guys' music that Prophets is doing? Do you think they'd look back on it sort of in a similar way that we look back on some of those, 60s protest songs at the time?
I'm sure they will, and hopefully there'll be a new generation of even more angry protest music, years from now. And hopefully we'll inspire them in the same way that Bob Dylan inspired us, And so it's a short list, There's not a lot of bands that have had success having politics be their main focus, and it's not easy. It's not an easy road to take, but it's a great one, And I love music that teaches me things, and I love music that makes me feel angry, and I love angry music, and so hopefully there'll be more of it.
Awesome. Which songs, you mentioned Dylan, he had Blown in the Wind and other protest songs, but what about you guys, either that you have with Rage, or is there anything new that Prophets has cut together that sort of speak to this sort of thing?
Well, you know, Public Enemy and Cypress Hill, like those, even though Cypress Hill is not as overtly a political as, say, Rage and Public Enemy, it really is, they are very political in that they speak the language of where they're from, and that's not a language that we learn in school, and that's not a language that I learned in school. And so I learn about Latino culture from listening to hip hop music, and so it is very political, and I believe in, I kind of lost track of your question, but like I just, you know, I think that that what we're doing and the music that we're playing is important. I like I said, I lost track of where I was going with that, but
I just said to, you know, throw out an example of a song or two of you guys that you think speaks to that.
Well, I mean, like, you know, it could be Channel Zero, Public Enemy. It could be a song like Calm Like a Bomb from Rage,
yeah.
Or it could be Kill a Man, you know, from Cypress. The list goes on and on. I actually don't care what song we play. I love them all. I really do. I love them all. And it's so great to be able to go, hey, man, we didn't learn Can't Trust It, so let's take the verse of Freedom and mix it with the chorus of Snake Charmer, and you just put Can't Trust It on top of that or whatever.
Right.
So it's so great to just be able to like mash up songs, to learn songs in their original incarnation, to come up with new versions of music to play underneath older songs, to write new songs, to play cover songs. It's just, it's incredible the amount, the size of the catalog that we get to choose from.
I love sort of the message to end poverty and homelessness that the Ghost of Tom Joad had. I just love that song, especially when Tom gets on with the boss with Springsteen and does it. It's just, it gives me goosebumps every time. Do you guys still play that when you're touring?
Well, here we haven't played it, but I will say this, that Tom wants to play it, and we have a kind of a version of it that is like the Rage version off Renegades, and also borrowing stuff from the original Bruce Springsteen. It's like a you know, a Frankenstein version of both of those songs together, and I'm very excited to get to it, and I'm sure we'll play it on this tour. We've been, like I said, I have a tape on my, or a, not a tape, but I have a, on my phone, a recording that he sent me of him playing acoustic guitar and going, hey, we should do it like this, and it sounds spectacular. So, yeah, we will play it on this tour.
Awesome. Well, yeah, there's that question's another little nudge to hopefully you guys have added in there.
Yeah, we will. We'll do it for you, man.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that's the reason. No, do it for Bruce, not me. Awesome. Well, let's go back a little bit. So this isn't obviously your first supergroup idea, because you guys did with Chris Cornell with Audioslave too. What do you remember from those days? And how did that sort of supergroup experience compare to putting this one together?
Well, that one, you know, Audioslave to me was more focused on music, and I became a better musician because I, at that time, I didn't have a whole lot of experience with working with a vocalist who was singing melodies and then having to tailor the music accordingly, you know, and that was something that I'm very proud of. Like, I listened to Audioslave and I'm like, wow, I can't believe we did that, and I really love that we didn't just try to make another Rage Against the Machine, and instead we embarked on a new musical career and direction and became better musicians because of it. And now here we are, better musicians, better understanding of music, and we're able to apply that in a new, different way, you know, and I'm excited about it. So, yeah, it's, you know, I feel blessed. So much of being a successful musician is being in the right place at the right time and being lucky, you know, and I feel very lucky that here I am in another situation that is amazing, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Take me back to, even before Audioslave, take me back to the very, the seeds planted for Rage. When did you meet Tom and Brad, and how did you guys end up coming up with not only the name, but the band itself?
Well, I've been friends with Zach, and I've been friends since we were in elementary school. We grew up we grew up loving the Sex Pistols, and you know, Zach is actually a very proficient guitar player, and when we were kids, he knew how to play all the songs on the Nevermind the Bollocks record. So when we were in like fifth and sixth grade, we were banging out all those songs. And the jam on that record that we loved was the song called Bodies, which had the most swearing in it. That was the one as kids me and Zach really loved. And here, and then, you know, fast forward to Rage and you know, a song like Killing in the Name, it's really inspired by that as much as anything else. And we knew each other for a long time, and we were actually playing music together, where he was playing guitar and I was playing bass. And then we had a friend, a drummer, that ended up becoming the drummer for Tom's band before Rage Against the Machine, which is called Lockup. And that guy, that drummer, ended up going to jail for some stuff. And so Lockup
broke
up, and that drummer told me, hey, look, you guys should go hook up with this guy, Tom. Hmm. So me and Zach went and hooked up with Tom. And at that time, Tom had already connected with Brad. And that's sort of how the band came together, was me and Zach connected with Tom and Brad.
Awesome. That's, I mean, you guys, seriously, I'm sure I'm not the only one, but, you know, sort of growing up in the 80s and 90s, and you guys are sort of the soundtrack of a lot of our lives.
Cool.
Yeah, definitely, man. Let's just, you know, bang through a couple of the songs. Tell me how they were sort of, how they were written. How'd you come up with Killing in the Name? Who wrote that one?
Well, every song that we've ever written is a group effort, and that's a good thing. And, you know, there's so many bands that aren't set up like that, that are like, oh, well, this guy's the primary songwriter or that guy. And we're not, I've never been in a band like that, whether it be Audioslave or Rage Against the Machine or Prophets of Rage. And we all share the burden of writing songs. And it doesn't matter whether it's a drum, sometimes it's a drum beat that inspires a song. Sometimes it's a riff that inspires a song. And sometimes it's a vocal part. And Killing in the Name was all four of us in the room back in 1990 putting together our demo tape, which was 12 songs, and most of the songs on our first record are on that demo tape. And Killing in the Name was one of those songs. And I remember when we wrote that, musically, when we wrote the arrangement, we were so excited about the way that it sounded before the vocals were even on it. Zach and I were roommates at that time, and we brought the music home, and we were playing that song and a few others we had a few other roommates, and we were bumping that, and people were just rocking out to it before the lyrics were even on it. So once the lyrics got crafted into that song, it just made it that much better and that much more poignant. And, you know, it just, that's the similarity between the Prophets of Rage and the origin of Rage Against the Machine, is that here we are writing music where we can just write a riff or a song and just go, that sounds badass, and we just know that it's going to sound even better once the vocals go on it. And you don't have to worry about, well, I have this melody idea and it's really not going to work with that riff, and you guys, can you change that note so that it works with it? And there's none of that. It's like, that sounds badass. Now put something equally badass on top of it, and we're good to go.
Right, yeah, and if you guys think it sounds badass, then the rest of us, I probably will agree. Take me into Bulls on Parade. What was the inspiration for that?
Same sort of thing. That was a group effort, and you know, we all wrote riffs in that. That was one of those ones where, like, you know, I wrote a riff in there. Tom has a riff in there. Zach has a riff in there. Brad, you know, obviously came up with the drum beat. And, you know, I can speak for the opening riff. That was a riff that I came. I think that might have been the inspiration for that song, was the first, the bada, get it, that. And that, that's just straight lifted off of John Coltrane, My Favorite Things. You've listened to that. That, to me, is like John Coltrane is the greatest musician of all time. And I went through like a upright bass, like bebop jazz phase where I was just so into it. And I would go to clubs and see anyone who was still living that played with Coltrane, and my wife and I would always go check it out. And and that song, My Favorite Things, is such a beautiful song, and the bass line is just ba boom 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 ba boom 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 ba boom da 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 da, and it's like that bass line just keeps repeating itself, and the ba boom ba ba boom ba is just straight taken from that
Wow. I never knew it came from then. That's amazing. Okay, cool. Well, we could go through so many others. Guerrilla Radio, Renegades of Funk, the whole nine yards. But let bring it back around then to this weekend show. You guys play Eagle Bank Arena Friday in Fairfax. What sort of stuff can we expect? It's going to be a mix of all your guys' original work with your other bands and some new stuff?
That's it. You know, it's original songs in their original versions. It's Rageified songs, Cypress songs that have been rageified, and Public Enemy songs that have been rageified, and it's cover songs, and it's mashups, and it's exciting, and it's angry, and it's badass, and it's inspirational, and I'm excited. I'm as excited as being a part of it as I am a fan, and it's no different than, you know, that's the thing about Rage Against the Machine or Prophets of Rage. It's the band is important, but no more important than the audience, and that's what makes the show great, is the shared enthusiasm. So I'm excited, and hopefully we'll bring it as good as the audience does.
And as good as John Coltrane used to. Thank you.
Never going to be that good.
Something to aspire to. All right, hey, thanks so much, Timmy C. We really appreciate it.
Right on. Thank you.